And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day as we put a little bit of a wrap on last week. I'm still kind of holding on because my boy Sammy Burns got to the finish line for me, 40-1. You know I was on that. Sam Burns getting his fifth win on the PGA Tour. It's probably not going to be the last time you hear me say that. I'm kind of a Burns homer. Been touting him for a while, beating the book. He knows that. He's been on the show many times, and he's back. He joins us from South Florida, and I'm sure is on cloud nine, the Miami Hurricanes in the final four. How you doing, bud?
Pretty good. You know, the Hurricanes and the FAU, so we're one game away, you know, from having a Florida Atlantic versus Miami national championship for college basketball, which
that's amazing.
I would have never thought that was possible. Both have had great seasons. The Hurricanes, I could have more expected this from the Hurricanes, you know, because they did make the Elite Eight last year, you know, and that was a great Kansas team they played last year, right? And the Hurricanes were ahead by 7 points at halftime last year against Kansas. So I knew that they were right up there, like, as one of the best teams in the country. And they added one of the best transfers in the country, Nigel Pack from Kansas State. So I knew that they would be, you know, right there this year. So, They lost basically nobody off last year's team, and then they weren't ranked coming into the year, which just shows you how big of a joke college basketball polls are. And you know, they've come up, you know, pretty much made a run. They've gone through, if they win the title, I'd say they've gone through one of the hardest title runs that there is, because they've gone through, you know, a great Houston team who was number one all season. Nobody thought they would beat Houston, and nobody thought they would beat Texas, who I thought Texas was playing probably the best out of anybody in the tournament. So to go through those guys and Indiana and Drake, who's a top mid-major team, they've certainly been tested. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Pretty much ecstatic just making the Final Four for FAU and Miami. So whatever happens after this point, it's pretty much icing on the cake, you know?
Yeah, no one saw that. You know, no one saw that. It's a crazy year. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Semifinals on Saturday, and then, of course, the national championship on Monday. Lots of golf, professional golf this week, the week before the Masters PGA Tour. We're going to give you our best bets here momentarily. Valero Texas Open, and then we'll give you a few live bets, which are in Orlando. Right in between, should we meet there? Like, you know, have coffee and go to the tournament. I mean, is everything good? I know there's a little back and forth there with you. Like, you were in and you're out. Now you're. Where are we at with Liv?
Yeah, well, I'll be there.
You got your media pass. You got your media pass.
Yeah, I got. You know, and it's not about like just getting the media pass. I mean, I would go as a fan too.
Okay.
But you know, I'd rather go as like media pass. You know,
they should. You've been touting them. You're a fan.
Yeah, you know, and as with all new organizations, you know, they have, you know, new people working in all different departments. So, you know, I'm not sure everyone knows all about golf yet. You know what I mean? So, you know, there's definitely growing pains with, you know, behind the scenes and stuff. But I'm just excited to get to the event, you know, and see some of these guys, you know, who haven't been playing that great on Liv, you know, to start this season, the DJs, the Cameron Smiths, you know, the Brooks Koepkas, like, how are they going to play this week? Because we, you know, we usually see if guys are playing well, they'll take the week off before the Masters, like in the PGA. Or we see guys in PGA who haven't been playing well, they'll kind of use it as a tune-up, you know, to play the Masters. So I'm looking at some of these guys who haven't been playing well on Liv, like Brooks, DJ, Cam Smith. I'm looking at them to, you know, get, you know, to find something this week in Orlando so they can go into Augusta with some confidence.
Yeah, the last two events they've played, you know, the golf course, I don't think matched their investment. You know, they make these investments in these big-name players, guys that can bomb it off the tee. Cam is not exactly long off the tee, but he's pretty crooked. And, you know, these courses they've played have been pretty penal off the tee. So they really haven't, to this point, matched up the courses to their investment, at least this year. I think what you'll see at Orange County National, this course is a little bit more open. So I expect to see some of the bigger names start to rise up a little bit on LIV Golf. All right, we'll give them a few of those bets here in a little bit. But before we get to the Valero Texas Open, let's just go back to the, see this guy behind me in the sim here. Can you see it? This is Sammy Burns. See him there? Right there in the back. Just pay it off one more time. Sam Burns, folks, won the World Golf Championship match play, working on some content in the sim there and how he gets it done. 5 wins on the PGA Tour. The real deal. He is the real deal. It's not his last win. The next step for him now is major championships. He's got to be more competitive. He's never made the cut at the Masters. I don't think he's finished inside the top 20 yet at any of the majors. So he's kind of like, he's a little bit like Max Homa, right? I mean, what Max has, what, 6 wins now? You know, these guys are winning. They are stars, and now they've got to be more competitive in the biggest tournaments. All right, we'll get to the Masters more next week. This week, let's get another winner. Valero Texas Open, TPC San Antonio, the Oaks course. I've played this course, beating the bookie when I was running the PGA Tour Academies. I played this course one time and the wind was blowing, oh, I don't know, 40. And we played it from, you know, where they play the tournament. And when I got done playing, I thought to myself, I don't ever want to play golf again, you know, because it was just that difficult. And this course is not easy. I mean, PGA Tour players make golf courses look way easier than they are. I mean, way easier. Mm-hmm. And you look at, you know, historically here, 13 under won it last year with JJ Spahn. I think Chapel won. It was 12 under. Spieth won it in 21. It was 1,800. You just see these scores and you're like, my God, like how does Spieth shoot 18 under? You know, and of course the wind plays into it. But man, the day we played it, there's a couple greens that you stand there and you just feel like you're going to get blown right off the earth is what you feel like. So, you know, well, it depends on the weather. It's a challenging golf course. And I think when you start looking at some of the key stats, of course, we know the approach game is one of the most important stats in golf. You're going to get a lot of the 150 to 175 yard range shots, 175 to 200. Guys are going to miss fairways and greens here. So you have to have a short game here. At least you would think in looking at the course layout. Now, when Corey Connors won here in 19, at 20 under, he just blitzed it with his ball striking. I think he was like plus 11 in approach. He lost one in short game, which is almost like a win for Corey Connors, only losing one as he struggles short game and putting. But you're going to miss greens. You've got to have a short game. And of course, you're going to have to make some putts. So it's a pretty well-rounded player that we're looking at here. And I'll finish with this, and then I'll give you the floor. You know, look, man, we're 40 to 1 last week. You know, it's not unheard of to see a long shot come in. I think Spahn was like 200 to 1. I mean, he was up there. I think Connors was a Monday qualifier. The last one to win as a Monday qualifier was like 250 to 1. Andrew Landry's won here. Kevin Chappell's won here. I think there's some money to be made here. What do you think?
I do think so. And you get, you know, good odds because the field is not very stacked, you know, so there's nobody that is like a world beater that's coming to this course this year, right? We see the second favorite overall is Ricky Fowler, 18 to 1.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me because Ricky hasn't obviously won in a long time and he missed the cut here last year. He's got 2 17th places here. So those odds to me are just like laugh out loud, basically. I mean, his odds are so low because he needs to win this event to make the Masters. And this right. is like, this is not like, this isn't a reality, right? Like just because you need to win,
right.
a tournament to make the Masters doesn't mean you're going to win it. So I think those odds like should be at least 30 to 1 in my eyes. But, you know, I do think there's a little value in the top 10 at plus 240 just because Ricky has been playing well. And I mean, the field is weakened and he's been playing well. So his game is definitely on the rise.
Yeah.
He's definitely putting himself more in the mix on Sundays. So I do like a Rory at a, I mean, not a Rory, a Ricky at plus 240 for a top 10 finish. But those odds, just 18-1 to win. I mean, just forget it. Like,
yeah,
even if you think he's going to win, those odds just suck. So I definitely, no bet for me to win it, but I do like the top 10.
Yeah, you look at the top of the board here. I mean, you mentioned Ricky at 18. Terrell Hatton is the favorite right now, currently at 12. And you got to shop around, of course. This, we're just looking at it at DraftKings. You know, Hatton didn't get out of his group play last week, but he'd been playing very well up to that point. You know, how does he feel? I think he hurt his wrist before he went out and played. So where are we at from an injury perspective with Hatton? I agree with you on Fowler. He's playing well. Look, I had him when I filled up my bracket. I had Sam Burns over Ricky Fowler. I don't know if I mentioned that. I had Sam Burns last week in my bracket and winning, and it was over Ricky Fowler, who didn't get out of his group play. Siwoo Kim is at 22-1. Connors, 22, of course, going to get a lot of respect, winning here before. Montgomery getting a lot of respect. The big kid from UNLV, you know, he can win with the driver and the putter. It's just, you know, I think he's being probably a little more exposed as of late with his iron game, his short game. I'm probably going to pass on him. And then all the way down here, we got Matsuyama at 25. You know, I think in the short odds, I'm going to sign up for Matsuyama. Of course, a green jacket winner there a couple years ago. And I think coming into a place where, you know, you kind of have to have the complete game, you know, get the irons going. I love Matsuyama around the greens. Let's see if we can have a decent putting week. I think in the short odds, I'm going to sign him for Matsuyama at 25.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean, I like Hideki, but, you know, as a Masters winner, multiple time PGA winner, I could see him just saying, like, listen, I haven't been playing great. I just want to go work on some stuff for the first two rounds and then get out and fly to Augusta on Saturday. Like, I could see that happening. So, like, some of the bigger names I stray away from, because I think they might use this like Thursday and Friday for practice, right? And just go to Augusta early, give themselves a couple days rest. I know Hideki, I mean, he's more like, you know, Japanese players, they're more honorable, you know? So, like, it's hard to see them, you know, like they, you know, once they sign up for something, they like to do it, you know, they don't. So
you like to complete what they signed up for is what you're saying, right? Like, yeah, us, like, Americans, we might sign up and just be like, yeah, peace out. I'm out. I'll go up to Augusta.
Well, for example, I think last year I took a Rory to miss the cut. It was one of the events before one of the majors. And I said, look, just look for Rory to work on some stuff Thursday and Friday, and then maybe just miss the cut by one. And that's exactly what he did. So some of the bigger names players, they like to just work on their game a little bit. And then I think Bryson did that last year at this event too, as well also. Yeah, Hideki, he's definitely the best golfer in the field.
Like,
he's the best golfer in the field. Like, there's no way Ricky Fowler should have better odds than, and Terrell Hatton at 12-1. There's no planet in this solar system that I would take Terrell Hatton at plus 1200 to win a golf tournament. It's just not going to happen. So, I got plus 1200. He might like pretend to throw a club, but plus 1200 to win, not really trying to back him right there, but I could definitely see Hideki.
It's good odds for Hideki. Look, I mean, he did not play well. Genesis, Arnold Palmer missed the cut. So I think the opposite as far as him maybe wanting to scoot after two rounds, because I think the Players was his most complete tournament, finishing fifth. And I think now he comes in here and like, let me just try to replicate that, build upon that. If he plays as well as he did at TPC Sawgrass, maybe another putt or two early in the rounds. It always seems like Hideki might be coming on late in tournaments, mm-hmm. and needs to get off to a little better start. And perhaps this is the place. I just like his short game. I think he shines when you need to wedge it a little bit more around the green, be creative. And I tell you what, his putter, he's improved. I mean, his putter has been pretty good here over the last 5 or 6 weeks. All right. So that's kind of where we are in the short odds. Now, as we work down, the first name I'll mention is very intriguing to me. I haven't played it yet, but I probably will. Davis Riley, who I think is starting to put the pieces back together at 25. You know, Chris Kirk can give you solid play at 28. Kuchar getting respect at 30. He's managed himself well around this golf course over the last, what feels like 50 years that he's been on the PGA Tour. JJ Spahn, the defending champ at 30. And then I'll take you down to 40. I'm going to mention these names here at 40 because there's a few of them. Ryan Fox, Matt Wallace, Brendan Todd, Ben Griffin, and Alex Noren. A lot to consider here with these names. I found myself spending a lot of time right here with these guys. And I think I'm going to sign up for Ryan Fox. I think he's playing good. 14th at API, 27th at Players. He made it out of group play and the match play. And he's a winner, man. Like, he's, I think it's a pretty decent course fit for him. And he's a winner. I mean, he's won three times on the European Tour, twice in October of last year. He's won three times in Australia. He won on the mini tours. I mean, like, he's the kind of guy that obviously he's got game, but when he gets in the hunt, I think he knows how to put tournaments away. And I think in all of those 40-1, some international flavor there, I'm going with the New Zealander, Ryan Fox.
Yeah, I can see that. I like one of the names that you did mention, Chris Kirk. Okay. He's got three top tens and eight events here. So, you know, he has one win on the season this year. I do like him top 10 plus 320 and top 20 plus 155. I also sprinkled him to win a little bit at plus 3,100. As far as like Matt Kuchar, like I'm starting to see Kuch, like he'll start out tournaments well. And then I feel like maybe he doesn't have the stamina that he used to have, right? Obviously he's getting older. So I feel like he kind of fades on the weekends, right? Or as we get closer to the weekend. So I definitely won't be playing Kuch, but
Kuch, last three years, T2, T12, T7. I mean, this guy likes it. This guy likes it at Valero. I mean, it makes sense. TPC San Antonio, you got that big hotel. You can bring the kids, you know, they're happy. They can go on the other side of the resort, go down all the slides. And so it's kind of comforting, you know, family can just stay there with kids and play while dad goes out and, you know, tries to carve up a 68.
And I did take a little bit of a bite of Corey Connors at plus 2,200 because, you know, this is his only career PGA win. I took him top 20 plus 130, top 10 plus 240. He's got 26th, 1st, 14th, and 35th here. So he's definitely, you know, well-versed with the course. So I did take Corey Connors at plus 2,200 to win. And then, like you said, Siwoo Kim. Siwoo's played 6 events here. He's got 4 top 25s, 4th in 2019, 13th last year. So I took Siwoo at plus 130 for a top 20 finish. He's played 12 events this season. He's got 11 cuts made with 2 top 10s and 6 top 25s. So I think Siwoo's probably been playing, you know, some of the better golf of his career.
It feels like Siwoo, I would say Hideki and Siwoo feel like the best players in the field. And it feels like Siwoo is becoming a little more consistent. He's been working with Chris Comeau. It feels like there's a little more stability with his game. You could see some highs and lows. We know Siwoo can win. Players champ. He gets it going. Look out, especially with the putter. He'll go unconscious. But you know, you look at the guys who have played the best here over the last 5 years. Connors and Siwoo are top two. And then, of course, right there is Charlie Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman, Mr. Valero Texas Open, has played well here. 2 seconds in the last three years. Aaron Baddeley's played well here. And there's Kuchar in the top five in the last 5 years, strokes gained total. Interesting. You know, I mean, that's interesting to me. And he's been playing some pretty good golf, really. I think he's kind of found his game a little bit. He's worked with Chris O'Connell for years. Obviously, the vet out there walking around. All right, so in the 40s, Ryan Fun. Brendan Todd is interesting to me. Matt Wallace, of course, won last week at Corrales. Can he, you know, where is he at from a stamina standpoint? He's played pretty well here too. You know, Wallace is a guy I think you got to look at. Ben Griffin is playing very well. I'm working on getting his coach on the podcast for Thursday. His name is James O out in California. He's been on the pod before. And he's done a really good job with Griffin. Griffin's playing really good golf. And when you need a short game and you need some putting, you're right, and you start talking about, like, you know, we kind of tend to dwell on the ball strikers and distance and all that, and deservedly so. But you want yourself one of the best short game players in the game? Ben Griffin. That dude can get up and down from anywhere. So I look for the good play to continue with Griffin. How about a top 20 for Griffin? How about a top 20? Right now I see top 10 at plus 400. I'll sign up for a top 10, maybe even a top. I'll sign up for a top 20, maybe even a top 10 on Ben Griffin. You taking that music?
I mean, he's been playing.
You can say no. Just go ahead. Tell me. You can say you're full of shit. Yeah,
this event, I just play. I don't really play, like, you know, crazy number of plays, seeing it's the week before the Masters. Yeah. But like you talked about Charlie Hoffman, right? Like, you know, 2 second places in the last 3 years, right? 2015, 2016 winner, right? His track record here is better than anybody on tour, right? You know, yeah. One win, three runner-ups and 12 events played. So I did take him last year, and he did miss the cut last year, but I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on Charlie Hoffman for a top 20 finish.
All right.
Plus 500, right, for a top 20. For, you know, I think that's pretty good. I think for these odds, they're factoring in Charlie Hoffman, you know, as a whole. I don't think they're really factoring in his course history here. So I like Charlie Hoffman plus 500 for a top 20 finish.
He's missed his last four cuts coming in, but don't let that detract you, because I believe I'll look this up. JJ Spahn missed his last two starts, missed the cut the last two starts before he won. Nope, I take that back. He did. He missed the cut at the Players, and then he finished 27th at Valspar. All right, so cleaned it up at Valspar, went in and got his W that next week, his only W, JJ Spahn. All right, so some top 20s. All right, as you look down the board here, how far would you go down? Is there a name in there that you would stretch here? Because, look, I mean, I think we got to keep going here in the odds.
Yeah.
And we got to give a few more names, because this is the kind of golf course and the kind of tournament that has done it. Nikolai Højgaard at 50? Wow.
I went down to Bo Hostler at 60 to 1.
Yeah, Bo likes this place, doesn't he?
Yeah, he got fourth here last year. He's made four cuts in five events here. He has five top 25s this season. So I took a bite of him at 60 to 1. I also took him for a top 10 at plus 600 and for a top 20 at plus 310.
Do you think Bo looks at Scheffler and is like, man, what happened? Because at Texas, Bo was one and Scheffler was like three. I think Doug Gim was two and Bo is the man. And now Scheffler comes out, and now Scheffler's the man, and Bo's like, and you think Bo looks at Scheffler like, what the hell just happened here?
I think it's the visor holding him back, to be honest. His visor looks like it's three times too big for his head. So, guys peak at all different times, right? I mean,
yeah.
there's guys on the PGA Tour right now that are not very good that, I'm sure in 3 years from now we'll be a lot better, and we'll be like, look how bad they were 3 years ago, right? So guys just, you know, they go through spurts. It's the same as any sport, right? Geno Smith couldn't throw a football.
Careful now. Careful.
3 years ago, he couldn't throw a football. Now he just signed a $100 million contract. So
yeah,
guys, you know, the guys' games improve. They get better. Some guys get worse. So you just got to be one of those guys that get better. So it's definitely not over for Bo, but is he going to be the golfer that Scotty is in the pros? Probably not. But
I just
nobody really. I mean, Scotty Scheffler right now. He's the number one. He's number one, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like he's almost a lock to win Augusta, right? Like, how do you bet against Scottie Scheffler to win Augusta, right? So that's kind of a hard guy to compare yourself to. But
well, look, let's put it this way. Bo is in a tough stretch right now, and he's usually an excellent putter. He's kind of lost his putter. His ball striking's putting some pressure on it. I just look at Bo, and it just feels like he's too technical to me. It feels like he's too technical. It feels like he's playing more golf swing than he is instinctively playing golf. That's just my take on the outside looking in. Scheffler, on the other hand, looks like he's playing golf. It looks instinctive, free-willing. Does he have things he works on with Randy Smith? Yeah, he does. He tries to keep the face a little more square, and then off he goes, and he hits shots. Where Bo, I think the visuals and the appearance and the aesthetics of all these things golf swing-wise are just more top of mind. Now, I might be completely wrong. It's just my thought, and that's my concern that I have stressed with Victor Hovland with some of his recent things and moves as of late, and have challenged the fact that I think he was a better player last year than he is this year. That's just my opinion. But with Bo, to me, that's the difference than what you see with Scottie Scheffler, and it's kind of a shame because Bo was, for all intents and purposes, was a better collegiate player. I mean, he played number one. So it's always interesting to see how players make that jump to the pro game. Scheffler, I mean, look, he's blown my mind. That dude's blown my mind. Like how great he is. The guy is awesome. You know, I mean, he's defending champion next week, of course. I mean, he is just.
And how many years did Scottie play at Texas? All four?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to say at least three. I mean, I think it was four. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I think also some guys, you know, they play 4 years in college where some other guys play two, right? So they're more experienced in college, and other guys get their experience on like the Corn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. So,
college, when he makes it, when it becomes your job, right? It's a different mentality.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes your job, it's a different mentality. And I think that's where the pressure that you put on yourself, right? Can maybe wear you out one way or the other. And your confidence can become a little more fickle because it's your job. And you got to make a check. So, I don't know. It's always interesting. I like Hogarth at 50. I'm gonna throw him in there. I think Bezedenhut's an interesting look. I think Rye's an interesting look. I probably won't play them. You move down here. We've seen some good play from Shank at 60-1. I think Davis Thompson is representing himself well as a rookie at 65-1. I don't think this is the place for him. I'm out on Pendrith. As you kind of work down the odds here, Will Gordon, I know we've seen some things here. I don't think this is a great spot for him. Sam Stevens played well last week, 80-1. He was a long shot. I think Eric Cole at 80 and Robbie Shelton at 80 are probably two names that I would stop at. Eric Cole and the strength of his game when we saw him lose to Chris Kirk at the Honda. Look, man, the dude's magic around the greens. You know, can he do enough with his iron game like he did at Houston? We'll see. But I would have to think Eric Cole probably likes this place. I could see him making the cut, and I could see myself sprinkling a little top 20 on both Cole and Shelton.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at some of these odds. Like, what happened to Cameron Champ? You know, it's crazy how far, he's been down. But there's one guy, you know, if we switch over to, like, say, first-round leaders, for example, there's one guy that, like, always comes out hot in the first round. It seems like no matter what course he plays, he comes out hot. And sometimes he costs me a first round leader by beating the guy I have. So I'm going to take a little bit of an Andrew Novak.
Wow.
150-1 for like a quarter of a unit to be the first round leader.
That's the name I did not expect to come out of your mouth.
He comes out hot. You know, sometimes he strings together four decent rounds, but usually he comes out pretty hot in the first round. So he's usually up in the top quarter the first round. So I definitely think there's a little bit of a value on a flyer there for Andrew Novak, 150-1 for the first round leader.
All right. 150-1 Novak. I like that. I like that. Just kind of looking down here. I think if I had to, you know, as we come down into these bigger odds, I would throw out, I think I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on Hayden Buckley at 130-1. I think that's a guy that I think will fit in nicely here. And I keep coming back as I like to run, you know, look at different numbers and models, and a name that kind of I keep coming back to is Brandon Wu at 90-1. So those are two bombs from me. Wu at 90 and Buckley at 130. Those are my two longer shots on the board to win. So first round, you've got, who was the guy again? You said Novak.
Andrew Novak, 150-1.
Do you have anybody else in first round?
Yeah. I took Chris Kirk, 48-1, and I took Corey Connors, 40-1. Corey can come out hot. You know, he might fade, but he does like to come out hot. So I think there's a little bit of value there. Mm-hmm. There also might be a little value. And like I said, Matt Kuchar, he's been coming out well and then fading. Like maybe he gets fatigued because he's a little older. He's also 50-1 to be the first round leader. So I can make a case for that. So just those four guys, basically just little sprinkles, you know, some lunch money to make 50 lunches, you know, but that's pretty much all I got there for the round one leaders.
Okay. I'd say the only other guy I didn't mention, I'll go back up here to the mid range. Guy that I've been touting, rookie Thomas Dietrich. I like him a lot and I haven't bet it yet, but I think that's probably going to be my last play is Dietrich at 45-1. I think a guy that displays a lot of game. I mean, you look at him, I mean, he has been consistent. He's only missed one cut this year and inside the top 40, most tournaments. He was eighth last week at Corrales, 24th at Arnold Palmer. I think he's a guy that can kind of do it all. I mean, I think he'll gain a little bit with each category. I don't think he's got like this huge weakness. The question is, can he win? I think that's the question with Dietrich. You know, there's kind of like two kinds of players at times, right? There's one that, okay, they may have the weakness, but they have strengths and they got a little dog in them, right? Like when they get in the hunt, they're going to like, they can win. They have win equity. Ryan Fox mm-hmm. to me has win equity. And then you got Dietrich, who's just solid. Like he does a lot of really good things. He's long. His iron game's pretty good. His short game's pretty good. Putting's pretty good. You know, a little bit above average in each one of those. But does he have that ability to win down the stretch on Sunday? And I think that's what's missing with Dietrich. And the question is, can he find that 1 week and push himself over the hump? We've seen it happen. It's going to happen, or it has happened with a lot of players. I mean, Tony Finau comes to mind. David Duvall had a hard time winning, right? And then when he did, off he went. So here I am looking at Thomas Dietrich again. It's almost a guarantee he's going to make the cut and be relatively close on Sunday. The hell with it. I'm going to play him again. I'm playing Dietrich.
All right, and there's also one more guy that I would play top 20. This guy, you know, he hasn't had a great year this year, but, you know, if you look at his course history here, he's got 12 events played, 6 top 25s, 4 top 10s, Ryan Palmer.
Okay.
He got 48th last year. Yeah, he's got, you know, since 2015, he's got 6th, 4th, 6th, cut, 17th, and 48th. Last year, he was doing well until the third round. So, you know, I do like, you know, a little bit of a sprinkle on Ryan Palmer at plus 360 for a top 20 finish.
Okay.
So,
all right. There you have it. PGA Tour Valero Texas Open, some top 20, some win tickets. Let's get another win. All right. Let's finish up with a little live golf. Do you see that video with your boy Brooks at the hockey game with the cone? And I mean, what's going on here? What's going on?
Honestly, those are exactly my feelings, because Aaron Ekblad, he's like a parking cone. He doesn't play defense. He's a defenseman that doesn't play defense. So Panthers are a mess right now. We were in the playoffs. Now we've lost four straight. So
you agree, it's
nice to see that Brooks is I know he has a box for Panthers games. He's a season ticket holder like myself. So he's very passionate about the team, which, you know, I do like to see passionate Florida Panthers fans, because, you know, we do need some more. So I was happy to see that he's passionate about it. And honestly, like, there's a million people yelling the same thing at the games. So the parking cone, I don't know if he brought that with him or like it was there. I was like, where did the parking cone come from? Did he bring that? Or like, was it already there? I thought that was kind of funny. But the video was kind of funny. He's just like a fan, right? Like, people forget these guys are just like, they're like us. They're not playing golf, right? They're like doing stuff with their friends, you know. So I thought that was pretty funny, and I'm looking forward to going to Live Orlando. I'm gonna go up there on Friday, and maybe a little bit of Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I've never been to that course, like Orange County National or whatever up there. Yep. So
Crooked Cat.
I hear they say it plays similar to like the Open courses.
I played the first five holes and the storm hit, and we got just blasted, and so we couldn't finish. But it is definitely, there's a little more room here for these guys to operate on this golf course. That's going to bode well for, like, you know, I'm looking at the odds, like Cameron Smith right now is 11, DJ's at 11, Neiman's at 12. You know, you just like, these guys are going to turn it on here eventually. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I think DJ probably came in kind of, you know, to make the analogy of an NFL player, he's going to kind of play himself into shape. You know, Cameron, has got some other endeavors going, I can tell you here. I mean, Cameron Smith just lives right down here. One of the things that he just did, as a side note, he has a beautiful home right on the Intercoastal. He bought the lot next to it and just leveled the house. And now he's going to build his own practice facility in there. So he's going to have his own.
Yeah, so must be nice, yeah.
I mean, hey, when 75 mil hits, right, you can have some fun. And, you know, he's a huge fisherman on the Intercoastal. He fishes for the Red. He's got his boats. I mean, he's living it up right now, and he's going to be practicing, as I understand, right next to his house. And look, I don't think these guys are getting the respect they deserve in the Masters next week, and the odds that you're seeing there. But make no mistake, Cameron Smith is probably going to be a factor at Augusta next week. I mean, there's just no, I mean, he's got room off the tee, iron game, putting. We've seen him go there. You know, so let's keep it real, right? In the level of players that these guys are. But do you have a few bets here? LIV Orlando?
Yeah, you know, this is a place where, you know, Cameron Smith, he's got a sixth place in the 26th this season on Live. I think he's just been kind of going through the motions, kind of getting ready to get ready for the Masters. So I think this is the week where he, you know, turns it on and he gets ready to play Augusta to show that he is a force there. So, you know, I did like Cameron Smith 11-1, and I took him for a top 10 finish plus 110 for like two units. Mm-hmm. He wants to be playing well going into the Masters. So I think there's a better chance he plays well than kind of like a DJ. I think, you know, with Cameron Smith being, you know, a lot younger than DJ, and like you know, DJ looks a little, you know, DJ is usually known to be like, he's been known as the most athletic guy on tour before, right? Like all the PGA players a couple years ago said the most athletic player on tour is DJ, right? And it looks to me like DJ, maybe this offseason he ate a lot, maybe. I actually know his chef. So maybe he's eating. I know he's eating very good because my friend Mike's his chef. He might be eating a lot though. So, it looks like he's been kind of going through the motions, and I don't know.
I'd be eating a lot too.
I don't know if he can necessarily get into that good of a shape. You know,
that's what I'm saying. He's kind of playing his way in, right? It's like Will Zalatoris coming back from his injury. The goal is to be, you know, 100% with everything by Augusta. I think DJ's like, you know, I'll be at my play weight by Augusta. I bet he looks a little trimmer this week in Orlando.
But I do think that I like Cam Smith as a better play right there. And I think a guy who comes, you know, who I've seen play well before majors before to get their game back is like Brooks Koepka, a top 10 finish is plus 200 here. Mm-hmm. So I took that for one unit. I know, you know, Brooks has got 31st and 29th this season. He's kind of played well to start these events, but he's kind of faded. And I think he really wants to work on his game before the Masters also, just like Cameron Smith, right? So I do like Brooks' top 10 finish at plus 200. And there's one other guy that I bet for top 10, Peter Uihlein, plus 200. He's got second place and 10th this year in two events this season.
Yeah,
he's playing very well. And I think he keeps up this week. So I like Peter Uihlein, top 10, plus 200. And I also bet the four aces to win the team competition at plus 400. So
there you go.
I think they haven't won this year, and I think that they take it down this weekend.
All right. So yeah, I think Liv, you look at the guys that moved over. Uihlein, my goodness. I mean, he has blossomed. Charles Howell has played well, getting that win. Obviously Danny Lee gets the win last week. Now, you know, Cameron, probably you expect a little more from him. DJ, I know Liv Golf would like to see these guys start to get it together a little bit. Abraham Answer has played okay, right? He's been up there. You know, look, Bryson is irrelevant at this point. I mean, he's irrelevant. He's played himself completely off of the radar of professional golf. Whether you feel one way or other about Liv, the reality is a lot of these guys that went to Liv, there's some that are watching it, and most, you know, PGA Tour loyalists are not. And so Bryson lost a lot of that, a lot of those eyeballs, but then he goes over to Liv and he's just been off the radar. Like, even guys watching Liv, you're not even getting to really see him because he's just playing so bad.
I think he had wrist surgery last year. I mean, he had wrist surgery and stuff, so that's a tough surgery to come back from. I mean,
Bryson's 55 to 1 to win on Liv in a 48 person field. Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, that's just crazy. That's just like, no one can predict that. No one could predict that.
And that's exactly like why I would take him at those odds, because he has the ability to win. It's just like the injury it's his injury questions, right? Like the wrist surgery and stuff. It's tough. I mean, I broke my hand, you know, 15 years ago, and it never healed the same, right? So I can never throw a football like I used to, right? Like from a hand injury. So he might not be able to hold the club like he used to. So it's after injuries, it's always difficult. You're tweaking your technique and stuff to try to get it back like you used to have and stuff. So he's kind of settled down from the trying to just bomb it every time, like a couple years ago, right? Where he would just basically try to smash it as far as he can. So he's kind of settled down from that, because I think, you know, he saw some injuries from that. Can he get it back together? But like you just said, 55 to 1, I mean, he's just as talented as anybody in this field. And if he gets it together, he could easily win it. So
just interesting with Bryson, right? Like he comes off like he's, you know, obviously he's a very hard worker. No one's taking that away from Bryson, but he's the scientist, right? Like he's researching and he's this and that, and he's going to go down these rabbit holes and just give all its due diligence and then really back it up with the science and make good decisions. All right. Well, he bulks up. That wasn't the right thing to do. Now he takes all that off, right? Now his diet, and he's going to get all the way down on all this, you know, speed and this and that. Now, you know, you're not going to get hurt. Okay, now it's his wrist. And it's like, you know, it's hard to continue to go down these rabbit holes, you know, with Bryson when you see these kinds of outcomes, when before when he was on the PGA Tour and he was, you know, putting on some speed and he won the US Open the way that he did, it was hard to argue that, you know. And now he kind of goes over to LIV and this fluctuation in weight and now these injuries, it's just, I don't know. It's just hard to wrap your mind around that completely as an analyst looking at someone who I think has become less consumed about being the best player that he can be and matching that competitive spirit that he has. And now obviously he's well paid and seeing how far he can hit the golf ball, right? Like it's a different mentality in where he's went with his career versus where I think he excelled, which was, you know, being one of the best players in the world and pushing that and seeing how far you could go with your total game, your complete game against the best.
I think when he started to, also his dad passed away, I think that was probably tough on him, obviously.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Yeah.
I think his game started to turn a little down when, like you said, he became almost like obsessed with driving the ball, doing the long drive competition and stuff like that, right? Like there's a reason the guys in a long drive competition like aren't on the PGA Tour, right? Because all the other parts of their game is bad. I mean, better than me, but it's bad for a PGA player, right? So there's a reason those guys don't play on tour. So he's still so young. So, I mean, he has a long, long time to come back around. But right now, yeah, he's definitely not playing very good golf.
All right, professional golf everywhere in Texas. In Florida, we've got NCAA finals this week. We have opening day baseball on Thursday. And then we turn the page next week, and it's the Masters. Great time of year. Pete and Bookie, thank you for joining us podcast here.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.